Thank you, April, for joining me. I'm really excited to talk to you about your whole concept of a flux mindset, and also about how you got there and what you've been doing. You have possibly the most fun webpage of anyone whose webpage I've ever visited. So I am very interested in hearing more of your story.
Thank you so much, Anne. It's a delight to be here and really, really happy to share.
Oh, great. So I'm just captivated by your idea of a flux mindset, which seems, having just listened to your TEDx talk and read a little bit, seems to be sort of a companion to the growth mindset, or a cousin of the growth mindset that Carol Dweck talks about. Mm-hmm. But in your case, it's about dealing with things and change and uncertainty. Do you want to extrapolate a little bit on that and help me understand it better?
Yeah, sure. And I love I think of it as sort of an ally
to
the growth mindset. Because also, very clear disclaimer off the bat is that I'm not a psychologist and I'm not trained as a psychologist. I'm taking a very kind of layperson view that's accessible and approachable and really applies quite broadly, not just to children and education and learning, which is where growth mindset mostly shows up, but really to all of us. And sort of taking a step back, zooming out a little bit, it really goes back to, and we can talk more about my professional journey, my personal path, it all fits in, but this notion of we are living in a world in flux, and pretty much every aspect. And I say this pre-COVID, I mean, we can
write
COVID as the master accelerant of all of this. But, you know, I spend a lot of time working with startups and governments and a range of stakeholders who are kind of looking at how the world is changing. The future mm-hmm. of XYZ, you know, the future of work, the future of food, the future of education and learning. And the point being, the pace of change has never been as fast as it is today. When we look at connectivity, how much information you're asked to consume, when we're looking at, you know, just what we're able to quote unquote accomplish in any given day. So the pace of change has never been faster than it is today. And yet it's likely to never again be this slow.
Yeah. Gosh.
And when you sit and just kind of are with that concept, you go, oh my gosh, right? And now I'm not a change management expert, so to speak. That's not my thing. But I was looking around at the narrative that we're given largely by society and certainly consumer-driven society, which is if things are going ever faster, well, the way that you survive is you have to keep up. And what that implies is you have to run faster. And whether that's on a hamster wheel or whether that's just, you know, feeling like it's the daily grind. And I kept picking apart at this because I'm working with organizations who are grappling with that from pretty much every angle. Those who are like, hey, we're the latest app that will help you optimize your life and save you 10 minutes to do this. I'm also grappling with, you know, policymakers and governments around the world who are invariably the lagging indicators, right? I mean, policy reform on so many levels is needed today. And so they can't keep up. And, you know, but at the core of this is this sense that we are living in a world in flux, and whether that's workplace in flux, education in flux with homeschooling, as well as just the future of education, and whether we're going to be prepared in terms of skills gaps and so forth, we're looking at financial markets in flux, we're looking at families in flux, we're looking at whatever you thought your career might be is in flux. You know, like, it's fractal, any layer of abstraction, you can look at this. And as I just sat with that and thought, how do we get through this as an individual, as an organization, as society? And I started to realize that in my opinion, we've got things a little bit backwards. The answer to thriving in a world of flux isn't run ever faster. As far as I can tell, any system that tells you to run ever faster, and implicit in that is however fast you are running today, you're going to need to run faster tomorrow, is unsustainable at best.
Yeah.
You know, at best leads to burnout. But more than that, I think more likely is that it keeps everyone from reaching their full potential and living a life that is aligned with the human being, as well as, you know, your goals, priorities, etc. So once I started peeling away the layers of that onion, it became really rich, really fast. And I can go through, you know, the flux, a flux mindset has a series of what I call disciplines. So the irony is, in a world in flux, we need to be disciplined as much as ever. But the disciplines we need are not the ones that society typically tells us. And of that, you know, run faster is but one.
Yeah.
There are a range of other ones that I go through.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't possibly control everything, understand everything. We have to find a different way to deal with it, right?
Exactly. Another favorite discipline is we are so focused, you know, and humans on the whole, like we don't deal well with change. And that's not a criticism. And that's not to say, I'm always giving the caveat these days, the amount of adaptation that we've done in 2 months of quarantine and lockdown is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And we are very adaptable when we need to be.
Right.
But on the whole, our default, you know, it took a crisis and a pandemic for us to adapt like this. Yeah. We need to get better at grooving proactive muscles to cope with change.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's kind of that, again, the COVID being the master accelerant. So we're not good at change. But that said, I look at the future and I don't see this is an essential part of our path forward. And this is, you know, any age. And so I think of it kind of like strengthening a muscle, where it's almost a muscle we don't realize we have and we need to start exercising it. And once it gets strong, it's quite capable. And that doesn't, I'm not saying that with a flux mindset, all of a sudden you can solve all problems and find all solutions. I'm saying that you're much better equipped to navigate and ideally thrive in a world of flux, whatever your particular situation might look like.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's not, it's about strengthening that skill within ourselves. It's what I love is that it's something that we can all adapt. I mean, I know that we all have different degrees of comfort and discomfort with uncertainty and ambiguity. And what's happened right now is we're like in a ramped up situation of uncertainty and ambiguity. So either we, you know, panic and try to go back to something that was before, or like you said, we just start working on these new muscles and new ways of being and try to figure out how to be stronger and more resilient in an uncertain world.
And a couple sort of anecdotes or side notes to add to this. You know, like I said, I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not looking at this in terms of empirical evidence and running lots of tests. I'm talking about being at the 50-yard line of a lot of this happening. And we can talk more about, you know, my global community and the kinds of things that I've done, because I'm in, and this relates to platform, in that I'm nested within a whole bunch of different communities that allow me to be a kind of cross-pollinator, a bumblebee, taking ideas and insights and perspective from one place to the other. But the piece I want to bring out here is that there's a big connection. I love that you bring up, you know, fear, anxiety, depression. I mean, there's a whole bunch of what I'm looking at that is informed by mental health. And I'm not a mental health therapist. I get that. But I've had enough exposure into that space. And, you know, in my book as well, this is very much a business-oriented book. And by business, I mean professionals. I mean, I want it to be accessible to everybody. But as I know you've said before, too, you cannot write for everyone.
Right.
And this is definitely geared towards navigating, for example, the future of work, change, change management, but not in that typical sense. So yeah. I share this because it's written for a business audience or a professional audience. But I'm bringing in insights from, certainly from mental health, but also, for example, I'm trained as a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
Now, I don't teach yoga, actually. I love having the credential. It's a huge part of my life. But when you start digging into yoga philosophy, you start realizing there are all kinds of insights. And going beyond, hey, let's have a weekly yoga class in the office because it boosts employee productivity, right?
Right, right.
That's just such surface window dressing on this. But wanting to bring in these different disciplines and ways of seeing the world in a way that is accessible. That, you know, what's interesting, I'm talking about yoga a lot in the book, and in many cases, I'm not sure yet if I use the word yoga. Probably not.
Right.
Right? It's a kind of like, that's where we're getting, and we can go down that path if you want, but the moment I do that, the conversation shifts and certain readers will probably lose interest.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. When you're, so, you know, part of how you've gotten this, you just casually drop, you know, well, I consult or I advise governments and startups. It's like that's such a, you know, a widely diverse group of business clients as it is. But it sounds like part of where this idea has come from and part of where your current platform has come from has been your wide-ranging cross-pollination synthesizing across domains. So would you say that's a big part of what you're bringing to your practice, to your ideas?
Yeah. Huge. And I've been thinking about this too, because I guess it's a little bit of book context. People have been asking me for more than 20 years, like, when are you going to write a book? You got to write a book. You got to write a book, you know? And what was interesting is most of those people wanted me to, or thought I would, write a travel book.
Oh.
Which is very interesting. And I can see why they would say that.
Yeah.
And yet I was like, you know, I love reading travel books. I have my favorite travel authors and all that. I was like, I don't think the world needs another travel book. Like, yeah. If I have limited time on this blue marble, I'm not sure that's how I ought to spend it. And also, I have enough friends and colleagues who are published authors to realize this is not for the faint of heart. This is a big thing to lift. And I never wanted to feel like I had to write a book, just, you know, had to do it. And so it was on low simmer for a long time. And, you know, I think for most of the vast majority of my life, I was like, I'm not going to write a book because it's not my thing. I'm too out there in the field. I want to travel. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I don't know. And then a couple years ago, I started to feel like a book was sort of coming out of me. And it was as though I needed to marinate in enough different places that I could start developing a unique point of view and perspective. I could start making connections that felt like, wow, if I wrote these up and shared them beyond, you know, blog posts and op-eds, this could be really helpful. And also, and here's what's interesting, and I'll be very candid with you, as it relates specifically to my platform, is that, yes, I have been or am a lawyer, a hiking and biking guide, an impact investor, a yoga teacher, a global development executive, a public speaker, like, okay. And so on that note, and specifically as it relates to my public speaking, which I've been doing now for the last 6 years in particular, 6 to 7 years, and I love it. I mean, I just absolutely love it. And what's interesting is that I am routinely told, you know, you can talk about so many things. Like, we can put you forth for a keynote on all of these different topics, which is quite extraordinary. And I love that. And at the same time, I still get the question, what do you do? Like,
yeah.
I don't really get you. Your CV is like, what? Right? And so what's interesting, and this is not why I wrote the book. I started to feel a book coming out of me. But what I'm discovering is finally, like, I love the different chapters in my book of life, so to speak. And they haven't, by no means have they been easy. And by no means have they just sort of dropped from the sky. I've had to work really hard, and there's been a lot of challenge and difficulty. But I'm grateful for the chapters I've had. This is the first time that I actually can look at a book and a point of view as the container for everything else that I've done.
Yeah.
So the book, this notion of flux mindset gets that door open. And then I can talk to you, you know, if I'm working with governments and I talk about cities in flux or policy reform, and yeah, good. We get it. We can bolt it on to something. Yeah. If I talk about the new economy and business models, you know, that's in flux too. Okay, that follows me through. I can talk about mental health. I can, you know, and so from a platform perspective, I'm like, wow, you know, it really finally becomes that connective tissue that pulls together what people both are really attracted by in terms of the diversity of what I've done and the communities that I've sort of immersed myself in, but also when people go, what do you do? I'm like, here, this ties it all together. Let me send you over here, and hopefully that helps answer the question.
Yeah,
that feels really good, because that's a first for me.
Yeah, that's fascinating, because I could see you've got this wide ranging, you would be one of these people who are afraid of saying, I've got a niche, I'm going to go in this niche, because you are anything. You are not contained by any boundaries, from what I have found, like global boundaries. You're just like, you know, professional boundaries. You are, obviously, but, you know, have a wide-ranging interest.
Yeah, it's interesting. The niche is at the intersection.
Yes, yeah.
That's what it is. It's at the intersection. And, you know, I spend a lot of time talking about networks and, you know, the difference where we're moving from a world of centralized institutions to more networks, from centralized to decentralized, all that. And what's interesting is, you know, in a network, in any network system, the most powerful node in a network is not the largest node. It's the most connected.
Yeah.
And so if you can find, position yourself at the intersection of enough of different, what do they call them? Let's see, if your node's in, it's like the spoken hub and spoke, enough spokes.
Yep.
then you can, you know, you have a lot of, I don't want to say call it just power. You have a lot of exposure.
Yes.
But that doesn't, you know, it's not the way we typically think of niche.
Right. No, it's not niche the way we think of it, but it is an area of an enormous amount of influence, but it's a lens that you can put on and it carries a bunch of different topics.
Yeah. Well, and on this note, it just happened in the conversation I had earlier today where, you know, I have my law degree. I spent time as a lawyer. I have my finance degree. I spent time in finance. I spend a lot of time working with tech startups and so forth. And what I told people was like, people love that I have these degrees and I use these degrees every day, but I'm not practicing law and I'm not investing. And what people are asking me for is the global perspective.
Yeah.
Which only comes when you've grooved enough, you know, you've traveled enough or worked in a global context enough that you have grooves and expertise that, again, by its very nature is intersectional and interdisciplinary.
Yeah, yeah, that global perspective. I mean, you describe yourself as a global citizen, and I think that's a fascinating way to look at it. So I can see, you know, how this has grown out of everything you've done, and you're now working on the book. And we started to chat before we started to record about how this whole pandemic is both an accelerant in a sense of people. I mean, this is so timely, the flux mindset, something we need now. But also, you're saying you're finding it's worth slowing down at this point and looking again. Do you want to just go a little bit more into what you meant by that?
Sure. And it's quite fun because I even have conversations about the book almost daily where it's like the fact that I'm writing a book about change in a world about change that is in flux, like talk about multiple moving targets.
Yes.
Right? Like, and even I still, when it comes to like the table of contents, which is like, sure, we will button this down. Like it's there. But like, this is, if this is not emergent, I don't know what is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so getting comfortable with that has also been a part of the journey. So I was already working on this concept of a flux mindset. It's been, you know, more than a year, roughly a year at this point. I'd been thinking about it before, but like this notion of a flux mindset. And so I had, meanwhile, I'd started writing a little bit about it. And I gave a TEDx talk late last year about it, which, you know, COVID had not hit yet at all. Yeah. It hadn't even shown up in Wuhan. And at that time, it was much more geared towards the world in flux, but like, will automation take my job? Will climate just wreck the planet? Like so much is in flux and we can't predict. And then COVID hit and people were like, a world in flux? Yes, yes, very, very much. Okay, please. So I think it's interesting because I guess at the most basic level, I want to write a book that is timeless. I want to write a book that 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now, people still look at and they're like, wow, that was just super helpful. And at the same time, I would be deluding myself if I didn't take a really hard look at the ways in which COVID and just the pandemic and the impact and the responses aren't shifting in the here and now, how we think, what we struggle with. I mean, it definitely gives my argument and my book more heft. It's a great thing to do. In this weird way, even though I'm like, I would have loved to have written the book already and had it published, you know, I'm like, nope, actually, I dodged a bullet, so to speak, in that it took longer for the book to get liftoff, but that turned out to be a real blessing.
Yeah.
And so as part of that, it's reconciling. I'm grateful that my book, and I guess I'm showing a little bit of bias here, but from people I've talked to too, they're like, your book is more needed now. That it's not something that's going to get shelved. And this whole notion, you know, some of the, I think, technical business books and so forth, or books as a whole are not doing great unless you're writing a children's activity book. But, you know, business books, technical books, that's not where you really want to be. But mindset books in the sense of how do we navigate can be helpful. So really trying to figure out where it's appropriate, where it could make a book more powerful to insert aspects of, you know, I love it. Some people are saying they're obviously we're not going back to some kind of normal. What's the new normal? I heard a friend recently call it the now normal. It's not the new normal. It's the now normal. That's and so good. Like, okay, all of that. But it's also making me realize that several things, a couple that popped to mind for purposes of this conversation. One is that shy of getting the book out, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that's much shorter, pithier, and kind of more directly today helpful.
Yeah.
So flux self-assessments.
Sure.
It's super fun when I ask people, what do you think about flux? And because of my global community, a lot of people, this was a challenge that I had for book titles and so forth, where they're like, it's intriguing. I think I know what it means, but I don't really know. Many people who are like, ooh, this is good. This is really kind of juicy. Flux has a meaning that relates to metallurgy and chemicals. It's a binding agent. And then I did have some people who were like, they were the ones who were like, don't use this. Flux makes me think of indigestion.
I said there is actually a something medical there, but okay.
Yeah. And it was quite funny though, because I thought, okay, you're never going to please everybody.
Right.
But this notion of getting a sense of when I say flux and flux mindset, in what part of your life is it showing up most? Because for most people, it's showing up at, you know, at the workplace, at home, when they think about the future, when they think about their family. But the relative balance of that is different for each person. And so getting a sense of where can it be most directly helpful now. So that's one piece in which if I need to actually invest in doing that sort of stuff and the book takes a little bit longer, totally okay. If I can be directly helpful sooner, great. Yes. And also though, getting that information, it's prototyping, it's data, it informs the book itself.
That's right.
And so I've sort of had to realize that, you know, this is a dance and there's not, I keep telling myself, like, there's not a bad outcome here. The irony is I'm having to apply the very same principles of a flux mindset. One of which is it's not about predicting and controlling the future. It's about preparing for a bunch of different scenarios and kind of holding that future gently, as I like to say. And so here you go. I know better way than to walk the talk.
That's right. So you do have this enormous laboratory learning opportunity, platform building opportunity by being helpful and sharing right now and even deepening what goes into the book as it comes out. I mean, I don't think you need to worry that in 6 months, the world won't be in flux anymore.
Right.
Here it's going to be stable from then on. So.
Exactly. And it's not something, I mean, what's very interesting though, is because I've spent a lot of time looking at, well, not just how does flux mindset relate to growth mindset or outward mindset or fixed mindset or fear mindset. Like it's right in there. You know, we can line those up on a sort of spectrum. But also, when we're talking about a world in flux, a lot of times people, particularly the business world, they're like, well, yeah, it's like VUCA, if you're familiar with the VUCA world. Volatile,
uncertain,
complex, and ambiguous. And I'm like, it is, but a couple things there. And again, I share this with you. Feel free to keep or toss. And VUCA, I have no problem with VUCA as a concept. Super helpful for the world. All of that. VUCA was designed specifically by and for the military and has been used mostly in business. And again, I say this with all respect, 100% designed and written by men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I can't find a single female leader that's like, yeah, VUCA, awesome. You know, no. And I had a conversation with a Harvard Business School professor who's also a friend of mine just last week. And I said, he was going on about VUCA and I was like, fine, where are the female-led responses to VUCA? And he's like, I know, at HBS we teach by case study. We can't find any cases about women, as though was like, I need you to help me find case studies about women. And I was like, you need a different paradigm.
Maybe the problem isn't the women, it's the paradigm. Yeah.
You need a different response. This is not about fitting that in. And so I share this because there's clearly one where yes, we are heading into a more VUCA world, a more fluxy world, and we need better responses, period, of which mindset is part of it. But also, I love the potential, at least, for bringing in more of a gender balance. And again, not to discredit any men out there. It's more of, you know, back to yoga. It's the yin and yang, right? Like, yang energy is male, yin energy is female. We need those in balance. And for the last few centuries, we've been living in a world of young overdose.
Yeah.
Right? And hasn't helped.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, I'm excited to see what you do with this and to see how it builds out. I'm going to watch for it. We're going to share your website and places where people can see what you're doing. I think, you know, given your perspective, your connections, your views on the world, I think you'll, and your energy, I think something great's going to come and this book will do wonderful things. You'll reach more people, I hope. It's great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.